With God being my help today, I want to teach for a little while on faith, real Bible faith, what it really, really is. Now notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a lively one, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, what?
Through faith.
Through faith. Oh, God. We are kept by the power of God. God's Spirit keeps us through our faith. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, comma. We're rejoicing in the fact that we've got an inheritance awaiting, heaven's awaiting. But though now for a season, notice the season. Some of us, we go through seasons. What kind of a season are we in? Are you in today? We greatly rejoice knowing that we're saved, though now, right now at the present time, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, that means many, many temptations that are coming your way, that are surrounding you. You feel heavy at the present time. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All right, you may be seated. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. I want you to know today that the most important thing you have is your faith.
Right.
If you did not have faith, you wouldn't have God. Our faith is more important to us than anything. It's a common faith. It's a faith in God. It's a faith in salvation.
Yes.
What was it Jude wrote? He said, "Beloved, it was necessary for me to write unto you that you would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." It's a common faith. Oh, God, today with God's help in a five-letter word, faith, F-A-I-T-H. How many knows what faith is? Do you really, really know and comprehend what faith is and what it means?
Yes.
It means to simply believe in God.
Believe.
Trust Him and obey Him. Thank you, Jesus. How many can say down deep in my heart, Brother Tommy, I believe in God. Oh, hallelujah. I trust in Him and I'm going to obey Him. Hallelujah. How do we obtain that faith? Through and by God's holy word. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Every time you pick up God's unadulterated, pure, holy, inspired word, you are picking up a Bible full of faith. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad of that? This word of God will put faith in your heart to trust the Lord. We read of all the patriarchs of old and the men and women of old that were moved, and God used them and God blessed them. You know why? He delivered them. He saved them. He came through and He fought battles for them simply because they trusted in Him and they believed in His promises. Can you say, Brother Tommy, with all of my heart, I want to stand on God's holy word and believe His promises, no matter what season that I'm going through, no matter the temptation or the trial, no matter what comes my way, I still believe the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh God, stay with me for a while. We're going to go somewhere. Don't ever be tempted to say this when you're suffering and going through trial, don't ever let it come out of your lips. Don't ever let it be in your mind to think it, to meditate on it. When you're going through your suffering and your trial and your temptations, don't ever say that you don't have faith.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, yes, you do have faith. You would not be here this very day. The very fact that you came to the house of God, you got in your vehicle and you came here and you're sitting in these seats today is simply the fact that you believe in God. If you didn't believe in Him, you would not be here. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Some of us have more faith than others.
Yeah.
Some of us have little itty bitty faith. Some of us, the least little straw or a feather from a goose going over will knock us flat on our face. Come on now, children. The little things tie us up and the little things trip us up and gets us down. Oh God. But I tell you how real faith comes. It's through experiences and through trials. When God brings you through the valley, He increases your faith. When you see the hand of God move for you, and you've been down to rock bottom, and the Lord came by and supplied your need and opened doors that you could not see and made a way when there wasn't any way, and you've been in this thing and you've been seasoned for a while, you understand that God has never forgotten you and that He'll take good care of you. It builds a faith on the inside. Experiences brings faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Have your word, Lord.
God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Measure of faith.
Yeah. A measure. Now, stay with me. God has given to every one of us a measure. It is up to you what you do with that measure.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Bless him, Lord.
You can work with that faith. You can put it to use. You can step out on it. You can do things for God. You can pray. You can offer yourself to the Lord and say, use me, Jesus. And every time you do that and step out, that faith will grow in you.
Right.
It makes you stronger. Ain't you glad of that?
Yes.
Faith will dry up, children, if we don't move. And if we don't use it, if we keep this closed, we don't praise Him, we don't worship Him, and we never testify, and we never witness for Him, our faith will dry up and die.
Amen. You're right.
Every time you brag on Jesus, something, a wheel begins to turn on the inside. I promise you. I promise you. Every time. Glory to God. It's up to you to do with that little measure that God has given you. We need a greater faith.
Amen.
All right. I'm just teaching this teaching ground today.
God bless you, Lord.
Do you know where and how your faith started?
Thank you, Lord.
Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is God's good grace and love that touches you. It draws you, that causes you to believe in Him and call on Him.
Amen.
That grace pulls out a heart toward God. Amen. And there is a faith that He puts on the inside when you're saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. How many can say, Brother Tommy, I realize that the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I'm telling you one thing, it sure feels good when the feelings come.
Yeah.
We may be tested and we may be tried, and you might be going through dry places and a dark valley. You can't hardly see anything around you. But I'm telling you, you keep holding on to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will bring you through. Faith will bring you through. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, from the moment that God saved you, and comes in your heart, he wants you and expects you to grow in your faith.
Yes.
Yes, he does. Some of us have more faith than others. We have grown through our trials.
Oh, yeah.
And our experiences have taught us when we're down to nothing, don't know which way to turn, can't figure it out, that's when we trust in the Lord and say, I can't fix it. I don't know what to do, God. My back's against the wall. And the Lord loves to show His power in those times when we cannot save ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, if we could figure everything out and fix everything that went wrong in our life, we wouldn't need God. Don't you think sometimes God allows these trials to come to build us?
You're right.
Amen.
If everything was hunky-dory, everything was honey and sugar, and you was on top of a mountain all the time, you was always in the sunshine, never no clouds, wind and rain, do you think that you would trust God and stay close to Him? No, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
We would take God for granted.
Right. Come on.
We would take Him for granted. But it's in these times that you're forced to put your faith in God. I don't know what to do, God, but I'm trusting and I'm believing in you.
Yes.
Oh, God. Now, there's different levels of faith. The Bible, Jesus speaks of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. It speaks of strong faith. These scriptures are in there.
Less and more.
James speaks of a working faith.
Yeah.
Come on. You might say, I'll show you my faith without any works. That won't work.
Right.
Another one says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm a doing something about it. I'm a working for God. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm a working for something. Hallelujah. A woman in Matthew 15 and 28 had great faith.
Great faith.
And Jesus said in Mark 4, 40, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here we've got little faith, strong faith, a working faith, great faith, and no faith. Mm. Oh, God. The Bible also speaks of a tried faith. That's what I read a while ago starting. A tried faith.
Yes.
And it finally ends up on a shipwrecked faith.
Oh,
Lord, I don't want to be shipwrecked, do you?
No.
No. I want my faith to stand strong. Trust in God. Now, here's where I want you to go. All that was a foundation. Turn with me into Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter.
Yeah.
I love this book. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look now. Before we start in verse 1, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Before we start in verse 1 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you must remember that the King James translators of our Bible took the original Greek text and the scrolls, and when they interpreted them and wrote them in the English language, they took the original Greek text, they added chapters and verses. It was a continual writing by each writer. So, I want you to go back up and look at verse 38 of the 13th chapter, right above 11 and 1, right before Hebrews 11, 1. Back up, there was a chapter added here. Now the just shall what?
Live.
Shall live. You could have put an exclamation mark right there. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. God is saying, my soul has no pleasure in them that are drawing back.
Right.
Oh, God, help us, Lord, to keep our faith strong in you. Look at verse 1 now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained what? A good report. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. What's the Holy Ghost saying in these verses? No matter what comes or what goes, no matter what you face in life, all of your temptations and your trials, you cannot afford to draw back and let your faith die. You gotta keep right on believing and going on and trusting God. This is real faith. When you cannot see a way through or a way out, you keep right on going and serving the Lord and trusting in Him. Don't let your faith die.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Put it to use.
Put it to use.
You want to look at it just right. When you pressed out to come to church today, you was operating and working on faith. Amen. You believe in God. You're sitting here today. That is a working in that faith. Every prayer that you pray, and when you bow on your knees, and every time you pick up that word, you're building your faith. Faith is a work in process.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now notice, for by it the elders obtained a good report.
Yes, they did.
How many wants a good report?
Amen.
Man, that guy hung in there. She kept right on a going.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many's ever had an older saint you look to and realize that they went through fire? They went through the furnace. They've been through floodwaters, and they still held on to the Lord. How many could picture in your mind, you know somebody that held right on through the thick and the thin? You looked at them, and their faith stirred you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We know that there's a creator by the creation that we look at. When God created the earth and the heavens, He spoke, "Let there be," and it all came into existence. That's the power of the spoken word. God believed, and He spoke, and it came into existence. Everything, listen, everything we see today, this house with all of its furnishings, outside the trees, the grass, the sun, the moon, the stars, this great big earth, God had it in the very beginning, was the Word of God. God visualized it in His heart, and He spoke and said, "Let there be," and everything came into existence. That's faith. That's faith. Oh, God. I'd like to look now concerning this faith. I'd like to look at some of the individuals as we go down through here and see really what moved them. Number one, I want us to look at a worshiping faith that pleases God. How many wants to please the Lord here today? Oh, God, I want a worshiping faith, Jesus, that'll please you.
Yes.
Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Yes.
Abel had a worshiping faith that honored and pleased God. He brought his gifts to God.
Right.
Listen. And he offered them with a thankful heart. Oh Lord, I owe you, and I gladly bring you my offering and my praise.
Yes.
Abel took the blood-bought route.
Thank you.
Everybody knows the story, Cain and Abel.
Yes.
God had already told them and told Abraham. He'd already told him, the life of all flesh is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no atonement. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Cain and Abel both knew this. Cain got in a hurry. He went out and he took of the grains and the fruits of the ground and cut them down with a sickle and brought them and laid them on an altar. And the Bible said that God did not have respect unto Cain's offering.
Yes.
He wouldn't go that sacrificial way.
Right.
He didn't go the blood-bought way.
Yes.
But Abel, on the other hand, he brought of the firstlings of his flock. Listen, he brought the best. His lamb was unblemished. His offering was pure. His animal had no flaw. He brought the very best from his heart and laid it upon the altar and offered it to God and let the blood flow. And it was enough for God to have respect unto Abel's offering. Oh God, Cain got jealous. He rose up in the field and he slew his brother Abel. But yet thousands of years later in our generation, his blood's crying from the ground, righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. He went the blood bought route. Raise your little hand and praise him. I'm glad. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm glad for the blood bought route. Hallelujah. I ain't going to bring God something cheap. The fields was cursed. The fruits of the ground was cursed. That's what God did when Adam and Eve sinned. He cursed the fruits of the ground. And here Cain tried to offer God something that was already cursed. But Abel had the very best and said, Lord, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to worship you and I'm going to offer you my sacrifice, God. Hallelujah, that will please you.
Thank you, Lord.
A worshiping faith will bring God the best. Number two, I've never heard anybody preach on this. I've never read it anywhere. It's just my mind today. So what I'm teaching, I felt like God gave it to me. Number two, a walking faith. A walking faith. Verse 5, a walking faith will please God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Moses wrote about Enoch in Genesis 5 and said that he was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, walked with God for 300 years. Thank you, Lord. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him.
Yes.
How many of us wants to please the Lord and walk with him?
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
Amen.
Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Hallelujah. Can you say, Lord, fill my heart with love for you, Lord, and for my brothers and for my sisters. Hallelujah. What is the greatest commandment? That lawyer asked Jesus, and Jesus said, thou shalt love God with all of thy heart, God with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. And the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love others. Hallelujah. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love one another. Let me walk with you, Jesus, and walk in that love, God, and follow you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the Bible said to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You know what? We wouldn't have near the problems that we've got if we treated others like we would want to be treated. It's a fact. By Jesus. We wouldn't steal. We wouldn't lie. We wouldn't hurt them. We wouldn't offend them. My goodness. We wouldn't take from them. We wouldn't hit them. Oh, God.
Praise.
Think about it. To love God.
Yes.
And to love others as yourself.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
We're talking about walking now. Galatians 5:16, Paul wrote to the Galatian saints, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Can I say it pays to walk with the Lord?
Yes.
It'll sure keep you out of a whole lot of trouble.
Yes.
It'll keep you from going astray. It'll keep you from falling into sin. And it'll surely keep you from destruction. Can you tell us, Jude, one more thing about Enoch? Listen, I love this, Brother Jason. The little letter right before Revelation that Jude wrote, he starts his letter all, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. Jude and James were half brothers to Jesus through Mary, their mother.
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious. They had all the same mother. Jude and James knew all about Jesus. He is something special. This one's different. He's got a different father. His father's out of this world. Oh, God. Jude said in verse 14 that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied back in his day and said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Enoch looked into our day and saw the second coming of Christ in the clouds with his saints. Praise be to the Lord. Enoch was a prophet. Hallelujah. He walked with God. I wonder all the other things that Enoch, what God showed him and revealed to him during that 300 years of walking with the Lord. Woo! When he was out in the field, he walked with God. When he was in the house, he walked with God. Anywhere he went, he walked with the Lord. And he offered sacrifices to God.
Right.
Yes.
Mom.
Enoch had a faith that kept him a walking for 300 years. It pleased the Lord so much that he came and got him and took him home to heaven.
Right.
I don't know. This is my imagination. Enoch's wife is fixing dinner. He's not there. She sends the boys out, "Go get your dad. Come back in. We can't find him, Mom. He's gone."
Yes.
He's gone. "Well, he must be out talking to the Lord somewhere. I know my husband. He's always got a prayer on his lips. He's always talking to God." Boys, you all got the best daddy you could ever ask for.
Christ.
He's taught us. He's lived it. He's been an example to us. Go out one more time and see if you can find him. Tell him dinner's ready. And boys spread out and went across the wet, plowed up ground. One hollered to the other and says, "Hey, I found Dad's footsteps. They're fresh. He's out in this field somewhere." All the way out, he hollers to the other brothers and said, "Look, look, look, this is the last place that Dad stepped. His steps ain't nowhere else around.
right here's the last step my dad took. He's gone.
Thank
He's
you.
Gone.
Yes.
Could it be the Lord would have come down and said, Enoch,
God,
it's paid, son, for you to put me first.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I feel him.
Come on.
Bless
you. Oh, God.
Come on.
It pays to walk with him.
Pays to walk with him.
It pays to serve him.
Right.
Pays to pray.
Yes.
Trust him and obey. Thank you, Lord. And I can see the Lord come down and see, Enoch, you put me first. You wasn't ashamed of me in that sinful and adulterous generation that you was in. You kept your family. You shined your light. You was faithful to me. Won't you go home with me? And I can see that old chariot maybe God was in. He reached down. He told those horses and chariot of fire, stand still. And I can see the big long arm, Brother Keith of God, reaching down and said, Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are now. And unto yours, come on home. And he lifts him and put him in his chariot. And away they go. Well, praise the Lord. Raise your little hand in the house. Hallelujah. I want to walk with him, Brother Daniel. I want to walk with him every day. Every day. Hallelujah. How many would like to be walking with Jesus with a prayer upon your lips and in your heart? How many would like to be on your job or at your house or doing something and saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you today, God. I praise you today. When all of a sudden the Lord said, it's time to go home. I'm telling you, it's going to be whoever one of us to be ready. Hallelujah. Enoch said and prophesied, said, behold, I see the Lord coming in the clouds of glory with his saints. Hallelujah. 10,000 times 10,000. Hallelujah. Is coming. The redeemed. Hallelujah. Is coming with Jesus when he comes to get the bride and take the church out of this world. Hallelujah. They that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus is a bringing their spirits with him, and we're going to be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to meet them in the sky. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise to keep right on a walking. Walk in love, children, and walk in the Spirit, and don't fulfill the lust of this old world. Offer unto God praise and glory and thanksgiving. Bring him your best, hallelujah, and worship him.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Bring your best. Have your way, Lord.
Man, I hope I'm helping somebody here today.
Yes, thank you, mighty God.
Now, we've dealt with a worshiping faith. It gives God all. Brother George, we don't hold back anything. Here's my vessel. Here's my body.
Hallelujah.
Here's my mind.
Glory.
And my heart within me, Jesus. Here it is. I give you my best. I give you my offering. I give you me. A worshiping faith. I'm yours, Jesus. I owe it all to you. Can you say, Jesus, I owe everything to you? Yes, yes. We dealt with a walking faith. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say the word with me, a rewarder.
Rewarder.
A rewarder. God will reward you for your service and your love to him.
Thank you, blessed Lord.
Verse, now let's look at Noah, number 3. I'd like to look at a working faith. W-O-R-K-I-N-G. A working faith. That labors in God's service. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Notice the phrase. Warned of God of things not seen as yet. It was never seen or known yet.
That's right.
That's faith.
Right.
Woo! Not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Yes.
Now, hang on. I've done a whole lot of study and digging on this. In Genesis chapter 6, a time span of 1,656 years, 1,656 years had passed from Adam till Noah. All right. The question is, how many people were alive on earth in Noah's day, right before the flood came and took them away?
Mom.
What was the population right before God's flood of judgment? One theological professor who was a mathematician took the year 2016, just 7 years ago, and he said that there was a 1.13% population growth in that 1 year, in that one year, compared to 1656. Which would put Earth's population at 241 million. But he said, given the fact that the generations of people that lived back then lived to an incredible age of hundreds of years, and they did not have the pollutions that we've got, did not have the diseases like we have and face today, the population could have been over 1 billion souls in Noah's day. Think about it. God told Noah, the wickedness of man is great,
great
in the earth. Brother Jason, we're there.
We're there.
Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart is evil continually.
Amen.
Oh God, the earth is corrupt, God said, and filled with violence through them. This is when God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, God spoke to Noah and said, the end of all flesh has come before me. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. And the Lord gave him the dimensions of that ark. It was to be 525 feet long, 87 feet wide, 52 feet high. Some people said that they did the math and said Noah worked and labored on that boat. They're saying anywhere close to 100 years or up to 120 years. Genesis 6:17, the Lord warned Noah, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh that breathes from under the heaven, and everything in the earth shall die. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. My question to you today is, what was it in Noah's life? What made Noah labor? What made him work for over 100 years or maybe 120 years? What made him continue to labor on without quitting and without giving up?
Glory to God.
Blessing, Lord. It was his faith. He said, I don't understand it all. I don't know how it will happen, but God said, it shall happen and I will do it. And one thing I can tell you Noah is. He said, I heard God for myself. He didn't speak to my wife. He never spoke to my three sons or their wives. God came down and spoke to me, and it must have been a sound of his voice like many waters. It could have been, it sounded like thunder. Hallelujah. God said, Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Prepare thee an ark for the saving of thyself and thy household. Oh Lord, I can see his sons asking him day after day, month after month, year after year, saying, Dad, do we have to continue this? Do we have to continue working and laboring? And I can see him turning to Shem, Ham, and Japheth and said, I don't understand it. But one thing I can tell you, sons, that there ain't no voice like God's voice. And when it spoken to me, it rattled me in my soul. It shook the very ground. That what I'm telling you, it put a fear in me not to obey the Lord. Raise your little hand to God and say, Lord, I put a fear in me, God, to continue on working, hallelujah, for you.
Yes.
I'm afraid not to.
God, amen.
Right. Right. Oh, God.
Amen.
Come on.
I'm afraid staying home.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord. Come on, brother.
Hey, yeah.
Come on.
I'm afraid of laying out.
Hallelujah.
If I ain't deadly sick, and if I don't have to work, I'll be afraid staying home.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
I'd be afraid to go to the places of this world. I'd be afraid to have the world to entertain me. Oh God, I'm telling you, I'm in this thing to win. I said, I'm in this thing to make it all the way to heaven. Hey Lord, I've got to please God. The Lord has given every one of us a measure of faith. It is up to us to do with that little measure of faith what he has put in our heart. Oh Lord, let me be obedient. Lord, even when I don't feel like it, when I get up in the morning, hallelujah, I might be going through a season of heaviness. I might be tempted and tried. My faith might be going through the fire, Brother Jason, but I still got to put God first.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, God. I got to put him first. I got to obey him. I'm afraid to leave one board out. I'm afraid to leave one nail out. Hallelujah. I'm a working on a boat. I'm a working on this ark. And if I don't do it right, and if I don't put the dimensions in it, God told me it will not stand the flood. It will not flow. Hallelujah.
Come on, bro.
Yes.
Glory
on.
To God.
That's right. Gotta put him first.
Put him first.
Put him first.
Thank you. Bless you, God.
Put him first. Be faithful to the household of faith. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to his word. Don't lay out. Don't stay home. Don't let discouragement pull you down. Don't you ever say, what's the use? What's the use? Don't lose your desire. Come on, this thing's worth fighting for. It's worth labor for. Glory to God.
Bless him, Lord. Glory be to God.
So what made Noah labor and work for that 100 and some years? It was faith in God's word.
Yeah.
Faith in God's command. Noah and his family had never seen or experienced a gigantic rain. Listen, never seen it. Fallen from the sky. They had never seen a flood. Genesis 2:6 says that there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Would you work? Would you build on a giant boat for over 100 years if you had never seen rain?
Hallelujah.
Hey, God. We cannot imagine. Brother Jason, we cannot comprehend the blood, the sweat, and the toils of all of those years that he and his sons endured and stayed with the work, stayed with the work, stayed with the work until it was finished.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo! What was the main ingredient as I'm wrapping this up? What was the main ingredient in Noah's faith? It was the fear of God that kept him a-going.
Yeah.
The fear of God kept him a-working and enduring. Though Noah didn't understand it all and how it would come about, yet he believed that God would keep his word. And he wanted him and his family to be saved. Oh, God, raise your hand in this house and say, Lord, it's worth me holding on to for my family. It's worth me obeying the Lord for my kids, for my wife, for my family. I've got to keep on.
Yes.
Hey, Lord. Hey.
Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
We can't imagine, Brother George, all the mockings and all the scoffings that Noah endured from a wicked society. Yet he kept right on laboring and sawing and pounding. Their ungodliness and their unbelief. Listen, their unbelief never deterred him. God, their unbelief never slowed him down. The crowds of people that passed by and saw that old man working, hollered up to him on the scaffold and say, hey, old man, where's all of that water going to come from that you've been a preaching about? When Noah and his sons would get up in the morning and head for their tools again to work, I can see Noah standing back and gazing at the monstrous boat that he was building on. Hallelujah, Brother Kevin. And he's thinking in his mind before he picks up the first tool, I cannot imagine God's coming judgment of water that will fill the whole land and cover all of these hills. How it'll all be and turn out. How will this thing float? As he is thinking and wondering about it all, if he was ever tempted to doubt his labor and work, is it all worth it? Will it work in the end? I can hear God break through in his inward conversation. Keep on a working, Noah. You must stay busy and finish what I told you to do, and you will see my salvation for you and your family. Raise your little hand. You'll see it in the end when the judgment is a fallen from God and the wrath is a coming. You and your family shall be safe on board of that old ship and on a ark. It'll not go down. Raise your hand. It cannot sink if you do it right. Hey, Lord, if you obey the Lord, it'll float.
Yes.
Hey.
Bless you, be.
Oh, God. Woo. Brother Jason, I believe I'm going to keep right on working. I believe I'm going to keep right on preaching. I believe I'm going to keep right on singing. I believe I'm going to stay faithful to the house of the Lord. I believe I'll stay. Hallelujah, where God put me. I believe I'll testify. I believe I'll be his witness. My sister, it'll be worth it all. Hallelujah, to obey the Lord. Raise your hand and say, help me, Lord, to finish. Help me to finish. I started out to win. I started out, Alicia, to make heaven my home. I've got to finish it, Brother Jason.
Thank you, blessed God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Lord, help me.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the very day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Hey, Lord, did you know that God said for every one of us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? When God called Noah and gave him all the instructions on how to make and build that ark. All the blueprint and the dimensions. And he said to pitch it within, Noah, and pitch it without with pitch. Make it waterproof and seal it. Hallelujah. This did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he.
Thank you.
All that God told me. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. I gotta finish the work. Slip your hand to him and say, God, I gotta do it your way. Help me to keep a worshiping faith, a walking faith, a dedicated faith, and a working faith, God.
Thank God. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
So the question to ask ourselves as I'm closing right here, is God pleased with our work? Are we obedient? Are we living according to His plan? And will He save me in the end? You better believe it. The sweetest words, Brother Jason, that you could have ever heard.
Hallelujah.
When all of that work and labor was finished, Genesis 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know the rest of the story. For the first time ever, while the lightning was flashing and the thunder was rolling in a blackened and angry sky, the heavens opened. A deluge of water fell in torrents, and fountains of the deep were opened up.
Yes.
For 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth, it gushed like geysers.
Gushed.
Just like God said, and all of Noah's family were safe on board with God inside.
Thank you, bless the Lord. Glory to
God.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Jesus.